This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to this weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm David Salkeld, and I'm sitting in for Tony, who is with his family enjoying this Independence Day weekend. Well, I've got to tell you, we have a couple of great interviews lined up for you today, as earlier this week, Tony took time out of his busy schedule to talk with a couple of leaders who know a lot about our nation's founding, as well as the current state of religious freedom in America. To get us started this weekend, you'll hear from the founder of Patrick Henry College, Michael Ferris. Here's Tony as he introduces our topic.
The true heroes of religious liberty are those individuals who understand both the Word of God and the authoritative nature of that and the importance of freedom. And of course, we know that those two go hand in hand, but in America today, it is crucial that we understand our Christian heritage, a cause that many historically have laid their life down for. Are we losing sight of this Christian heritage? Could modern ideas be threatening our rights to religious freedom? Those are exactly the questions that constitutional lawyer and founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, Mike Ferris, addresses in his new book, The History of Religious Liberty. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Fascinating book, The History of Religious Liberty. I want to start first with the question, why'd you write it?
Well, I got tired of people claiming that the Enlightenment was the cause of religious liberty. I read a book about the Bible translators years ago, and it just sparked an interest in me because I saw a parallel in the fight for the right to publish the Bible with our religious liberties. And I dug into it and did 3 years of research in original sources, the Bodleian Library, and all kinds of places. There's an absolute direct connection, the fight for the right to translate the English Bible and publish it and give it to the common people really did lead to the establishment of the American Bill of Rights in a straight path.
And when you consider that, I mean, that answers the question at what is at the core of America's freedom and the staying power of that freedom is that understanding that was unleashed through the power of the truth, which is the Scripture.
That's exactly right. The people that fought for liberty were the ones who believed in liberty for everyone. You know, it's one thing to seek religious sanctuary for yourself, and it's another to seek the right to give those who agree with you the freedom of speech. But the people who fought for this on a principled basis did so because of their understanding of the Word of God. They read, we call it now the priesthood of the believer, but they basically said every man needs to be like the Bereans who can come to the Word for himself and look at the Word himself and check to see if the things that the public teachers are saying is true, just like the people in Berea did the Apostle Paul. And so it was that Berean spirit that led to the founders of religious freedom from the 1550s through the establishment of the Bill of Rights in 1791. That was that Berean spirit, the average Christian layman, that was the real catalyst for the whole victory.
So then, is it safe to say that without that biblical understanding that came forth from the Scripture and that allegiance to the Scripture, that we wouldn't have the freedoms that we enjoy in this country today?
There is no doubt of it. The path that we actually used was the path that it was professing Christian upon professing Christian persecution in those days. You know, we have to be honest about that. And one of the things that we sometimes forget is that Christians persecuted other Christians.
Right.
But be that as it may, the people who stood for freedom took two real important viewpoints. Number one is they said the Word was the highest authority, and then they said, secondly, that everybody gets to decide for themselves whether they want to be a Christian. They said that putting a sword in somebody's throat and saying, go through some ceremony, if that actually put people in line to go to heaven, then that's what we should be doing, is coercing people to do the ceremonies. But they said that doesn't work. The way people actually come to Christ is by saying yes to the claims of Jesus. And because of that theology, because of that honor of the Word of God. It was those two lines of reasoning that led to the whole idea of the individual right of conscience. From the individual right of conscience, we get freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly. All those freedoms came together as they decided to preach the Word of God and to publish the Word of God without the harassment of the British government.
Mike, you give three reasons why it is important to know the essential parts of religious history. Tell us more about those.
Well, we need to have confidence in our beliefs. Sometimes Christians get a little embarrassed, and we think we're on the wrong side of history. We were the persecutors. Well, there were Christians who were persecutors. That's true. But the people who believe the Word of God, they were the heroes for liberty, and they fought for liberty for everybody. And so, you know, we should know it so that we're not embarrassed by our own heritage, and we don't get ashamed of standing up forcefully for the Word of God today. The second thing is that we need to understand the difference between tolerance and liberty. They're not the same thing. The Toleration Acts of William and Mary of 1688 said that if you only differed from the Church of England in five very specific ways, would you be tolerated? Otherwise, you could be punished and fined and go to jail and ultimately lose your life if you differed from that in a different way. And so what we see going on in the tolerance movement today is actually the enemy of liberty. Tolerance mm-hmm. is not the same, and it falls short both on a personal level and on a legal level. On a personal level, Christians are called to love people that are different than them, not tolerate them. Tolerance is a disdainful putting up with someone else.
Right.
But we're to love people, so tolerance is beneath what Christ calls us to. And tolerance as a legal concept means if you don't differ from orthodoxy too much, we'll let you go. Otherwise, we'll crush you. And that's exactly the spirit we see going on in our country today. And we need to be against that kind of tolerance, be for liberty, which means everybody has the right to believe what they want to believe and practice what they want to believe, even if it's unpopular. Now, we find ourselves that we're on the side of unpopular beliefs in a lot of arenas these days, but we have to stand up not only for our own freedom to believe, but for everybody's freedom to believe and to practice their religious faith, which is why, you know, I got involved with the helping to write the Religious Freedom Restoration Act 20 years ago. And so it's religious freedoms for everybody. Those are a couple of the most important reasons why we need to know this history.
But Mike, also when you talk about the freedom to believe and hold those beliefs and live according to those beliefs, we also have the right in this country to advocate for what flows from those beliefs. For instance, the issue of marriage. We have a right, you know, as an understanding of what God created in our as Christians, what marriage is. Just because it's a religious belief does not disqualify it from being interjected into the public square.
Absolutely right. I mean, one of the principles of the Supreme Court, when they were thinking correctly, was that there is your content of your speech is no grounds for denying you free speech, and the religious speech is not second class speech; it's first class speech. But, you know, we seem to be seeing too many deviations from that idea in the public square these days. But, you know, take your religious speech elsewhere. No, no, no. The reason we have freedom of speech, the ground that we fought for religious freedom of speech, was the freedom to deliver a religious message that differed from the official church. That was the battleground, and it still is becoming the battleground today. Again, that the right to deliver a religious message in, you know, contradiction to political correctness, there's the battleground that we're facing, and we need to stand up for freedom. And people who want to silence their opponents, you see things. I mean, I saw a news article the other day about wanting to silence people who disagree with the global warming theories. Okay, right. Argue all you want that they're wrong, fine. But why are we trying to silence people?
Right.
And that's what's going on in our society today. Really, Christians are first and foremost of the group that wants the politically correct crowd wants to silence.
And our founders, Mike, understood the importance of protecting free speech, because that is, in many ways, prevents violence, is because when people can argue these things out in the public square and reach a consensus, that's how democracy, that's how a republic works. They're short-circuiting that by wanting to silence people.
Yeah, the coercive nature of silencing people will beget violence and tragedy. That's not good. I mean, it's not the only way we get violence and tragedy, unfortunately, in our society. Being ambiguous about right and wrong has certainly led to a lot of unnecessary violence and tragedy in our nation as well. But we have committed ourselves to the path that freedom works best in the long run. And if we're taking that back and becoming ambivalent about whether we believe in freedom, there's no such thing as a freedom to not be offended.
Right.
The concept that I'm offended daily by stuff. I don't have any right not to be offended. And I'm sure you get offended by stuff. I'm offended when my favorite sports teams lose. But I'm offended at referees. You can get offended at anything. There's no right to not be offended by somebody's speech, somebody's conduct. It has to be a whole lot more than that before we have. And silencing people is contrary to the essence of what it means to be American. And so this country was founded on the principle that you can believe what you want, you can say what you want, you can print what you want. And that's the essence of the First Amendment. And it all came from Christians who were willing to be burned at the stake rather than to give up those freedoms.
Wow. Mike Ferris, thanks so much for being with us. I want to encourage folks to pick up a copy of The History of Religious Liberty. It's important to understand our history so that we can defend it and we can shape and secure our future. Mike Ferris, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tony.
That was Michael Ferris, founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association and Patrick Henry College. You can find more on this topic at our website, TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, we'll hear from Jack Hibbs, senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. It's a great interview, and you won't want to miss it.
On September 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Franklin Graham, Megyn Kelly, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register before May 1st for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm David Salkeld, sitting in for Tony, who's enjoying this 4th of July weekend with his family. Well, up next is an interview that Tony had with the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, talking about the intersection of religious liberty and the role of the church. Here's Tony as he introduces our guest.
We're joining me now to discuss the need for a spiritual awakening in America, for us to rediscover America's exceptionalism, is senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and a member of FRC's National Pastors Council, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Pastor Jack, welcome back to Washington Watch.
You know, Tony, it's great to be with you again, and especially regarding the celebration of this weekend of yet another birthday for our nation. I mean, I don't know if people realize the fact, Tony, that we may be one of the younger nations as time goes in history on the planet, but we enjoy the longest living protection and freedom given to us by our founding fathers. Our Constitution and our Declaration provides for us this weekend, not only this weekend, but of course a whole, as you and I will talk, the spirit of liberty itself. Where did this freedom that you and I enjoy this weekend come from?
239 years old is what we celebrate this weekend as Americans. And it is, I mean, we wrestle with the problems of facing America, and I'm not delusional. I know America is challenged, and I'm hopeful that, you know, we have many more years as a nation. I do think that that's in question based upon some of the decisions we make. But nonetheless, we still have the freedom to protect our freedoms and to get the nation back on the right track. And Pastor Jack, at the heart of that is not just these civil liberties that we enjoy, but at the heart of what it, I think of America's exceptionalism is that spiritual freedom, which when you break it down to its, you know, to its the most central piece, it is a relationship between each American and their creator.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, number one, here we are enjoying this freedom as a nation, Tony. You know this well. You've been to Israel. There's only two nations on the planet that can boast a biblical beginning. And we're sitting in one right now, and Israel is the other. And yet the whole message from the God of the Bible, Old and New Testament, same God, the announcement is that freedom is not only what God is for, but what God provides, of course, ultimately through Jesus Christ. And as you and I enjoy our freedoms today, Tony, I'm thinking of a man right now, and I'll mention his name in a moment, who's extremely free compared to many people in America today who think they have freedom. And I'm thinking right now regarding our program today together, is Pastor Saeed is in Iran in a prison, and yet that man is free.
Right.
And somebody might say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, you know, I live in a pretty neat part of the world here, and you can drive around and look at mansions parked on the beach. You can look at Bel Air and Hollywood, and you can see all this stuff. And those people, listen, just because they have what looks like the things that have granted them freedom, they're not free. Freedom is what you said a moment ago, where Jesus Christ is ruling in your heart. That sets you free. The truest freedom begins on the inside of a man. And that's why you have communist nations, for example, or socialist agendas like we're going through right now in our America. That the gospel, Tony, is very threatening to people.
Right.
The name of Jesus is terrifying to a totalitarian worldview because you can't control that. Today, if you go into China, we have mission teams that do. The Chinese government goes through the bags trying to look for Bibles, trying to look for Christian literature.
It's a threat.
Because they view that as an enemy.
It's a threat to them. But we're finding the same thing now, unfortunately, from our own government, at least the current regime here in Washington, where they see religious freedom. Now, they talk about freedom of worship. They're okay as long as they can keep this quarantine within the four walls of the church. But big government, big oppressive government is always, no matter where it's at, is threatened by vibrant, vibrant Christian faith.
Absolutely. A living Christianity, a Holy Spirit Christianity from the Bible, a true biblical worldview spawns freedom. It's impossible to separate the two. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 tells us as believers that we need to be very, very diligent to stand firm. That means, Tony, defend it, live it. Every day, get up and stand firm in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free and no longer be entangled in the things of this world. True freedom is a threat to, as you said, as we're talking about, any other attempt of rule. And so we know throughout history that if a government or a regime wants to seize individual freedom, they go after religion.
Right.
They go after faith. They go after specifically Jesus. They go after churches that would proclaim that liberty outside the walls of their church. And yet that's the mission. Didn't Jesus tell us to spread his liberty, his freedom, to go ye therefore into all the world? And that transcends any government or any human rule. We are mandated as believers to get the good news out, the freedom that Jesus Christ in fact sets us free, and that kingdom that he brings begins in the heart. Liberty that sets us free from sin, from the tyranny of our lives being ruled by maybe how we were brought up or our human nature of things. The beautiful thing is that Jesus, the Bible tells us, makes us brand new. We become new creations in Christ. That is the absolute liberty. And as Americans, you know, you can be an American and not enjoy the very freedom for which the Creator of America wants you to have, and that is liberty in Christ right now inside of you.
You know, Pastor Jack, I want to go back to something you said there, because I think the irony of this, the fact that those governments that see religious freedom and vibrant Christianity a threat, when in reality it is their best ally to ordered government in which the people are at peace and prosper. But when the focus is not the peace and prosperity of the people, and rather it's the power of the politicians, that's when that religious freedom, Christianity in particular, becomes a threat. You made reference, Pastor Jack, to Israel, and you know that they, a nation, a covenant nation with God, probably the only, we're the only other country in which we were from the outset founded on biblical principles. Now, when you look at the spiritual climate in America, you know, and you also look back in the Old Testament and what happened with Israel, America's off track from where it should be. What's it going to take to get America to turn back to God?
Well, Tony, I have an I'm hesitating because my answer in my heart is true. It is direct. It is what I 100% believe in. I struggle right now with how am I going to say it, because it almost sounds arrogant. Tony, the answer is in the pulpits of America's churches. That would presuppose, Tony, that those pulpits are occupied by men of God who are on fire and fearful of the Almighty God rather than the wannabe government. To be alive for God, Tony, to preach the Word of God, to equip their people, to tell them that they happen to be in church on this Sunday morning, but you are about to be released out into the world in which you are to go live and to proclaim. And that's going to take pulpits ablaze, pulpits that are fearless, Tony, to go back to the true genre of revival, where in America, whenever we enjoy true liberty and true freedom, there was an awakening. And the Great Awakening of the 1730s and 40s gave birth to the cry for independence, which led to the birth of a nation. If you look at the history of America, when she sunk down into depravity, when it seemed like nobody was around holding forth the Word of God, God raised up a couple of men, started all over again, and revival breaks out. We are ripe. Tony, I'm encouraged at this moment. I know things look bad, but you know what? We very possibly have hit bottom as a nation, and there's going to be, and you and I, Tony, know some of them, men are beginning to speak fire from the pulpit alive without fear, and they are letting the gospel go forth without apology. And that's what it's going to take. The answer is in God's house, not the State House, not the White House. The answer is in God's house, where God has control of His men, of His pulpit, of His people.
Could not agree more. And I think what is required is that those pulpits, the men standing in those pulpits, that they have a greater reverence for God and for His Word than they have a fear of man. And what men may say. And I know that's that sounds like an easy statement, but as human beings, we are all, you know, we all desire affirmation, we desire to be accepted. But this is not the day where we should seek affirmation from man. I don't think that's ever the day, although that's
right.
Kind of our default position. I mean, we should seek obedience to God, and we need the pulpits of America to be prophetic in their declarations, to where there is clear truth. I know that, you know, many people have bought into this notion of moral relativism, that there is no objective transcendent truth. It's there, it's real. And if you're a follower of Christ, especially if you're a pastor, I don't see how you can escape that, because the Scripture is very clear. Jesus said, "I am the truth, the way, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." That's the message that must be heralded through the pulpits of America without apology.
Tony, I'm a big fan of what I'm about to say. It's not because I'm saying it. It's because this is what I understand from the Scripture. A lot of pastors today, Tony, would answer us right now in this program and say, "Hey, I preach the gospel." Fantastic. So does Tony Perkins, and so does Jack Hibbs. What are your people? What are we doing after we preach it?
Right.
And I would love for us to kind of view the church as on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, where the church is getting that key, that little key that's stuck in the back of the church, and you turn the key and it winds up that little mechanical man again, that when we come to services, we get wound up again to get back out into the fray, get back out into the culture, back out into the into where we're supposed to be. And pastors, that falls on your lap. That is the responsibility of pastors, is to equip the saints not to hang out in church, but to get on out into the world. I believe that our Christianity is resilient. I believe it cannot be defeated. I believe the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Why does God give us such confidence and such promises to get out into that world? So when someone says, well, I preach the gospel, but we don't get involved in politics, well, you need to understand something. Politics is biting at the bit to get involved in your church, to get involved in your faith, to shut you down. And the issue is, for me, where did Jesus tell us not to shine our light? He told us to shine our light everywhere. Let your light so shine. So I don't want to hear any more pastors hiding behind the Word of God saying, I'm preaching it, but I'm not engaging the culture. That's impossible. You've got to engage the culture if you're preaching it. And by the way, if you won't, if you preach the Word, your people will. I mean, they're going to do it. They're going to do it, Pastor, with or without you, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They'll follow me. And that's where Christ is. He's on the streets. He's across the street, from the hospital as well as the abortion clinic, with the message of God, but uncompromising, speaking it in truth and in love.
But he's speaking it, and that's what we've got to do. Pastor Jack Hibbs, thanks so much for being with us. Have a great 4th of July.
And to you, Tony. Thank you.
Well, that was Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, along with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. If you'd like more information about our outreach to pastors called Watchmen on the Wall, you can go to TonyPerkins.com and you'll find all the information there. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony Perkins' Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. You can sign up for it when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.